pilgrim's pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shatter, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout for victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the cause of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Sing and shout for victory. Onward to the prize before us. Soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Amen.
Amen. I still have a reason to shout today.
Amen.
I still know who's on the throne. I still know everything's going to be all right. Amen. I'm thankful for that. I know this world's in turmoil. Our country's in turmoil. But I'm thankful that Jesus is still the answer. Amen. Amen. And so I want to thank the Lord for His never changing. Amen. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed His mind. Salvation's still only through the blood. Amen. It's still only by grace, through faith. Amen. And so none of those things have changed. And so I'm just thankful to be a child of the King. Amen. I do want to thank the Lord for all the safety He's given us as a church. I do encourage you to continue to promote the YouTube. I had a salesman call me today. First thing this morning, 9 o'clock this morning, I know you're going to say, preacher, is that really first thing? It's not to me. Some of you don't even know what 9 o'clock looks like, amen? But, don't get mad at the preacher already. I haven't even started preaching yet, amen? But truthfully is, it's amazing to me. They were trying to promote, and it was a religious promotion, or it would even be some that I know of. It wasn't a bad organization. It wasn't even a bad direction. But it's amazing to me that they were working on making a dollar on Sunday. That bothers me. Amen. It's still the Lord's Day. And so I think it's all right for us to... Oh, by the way, YouTube's free. It's free to push subscribe. I'm not trying to make any money on it. I'm just trying to make it to where all I've got to do is push a button. You say, preacher, is it because you're lazy? No, I just like convenience like the rest of you. Amen. And it's just one less thing for Satan to get involved in. Amen. I mean, honestly, that's all it is. Amen. I would like to take time and thank everyone. I know that we've got the white lines up. I know that we've got the division. And thank you for coming in. Here's the whole object. We come in, we have church, and we go home. I would like us to all stay safe. Amen. I know that there's some that are out today for multiple reasons. Some are still sick. And once again, how many have ever been to Walmart and heard it over the loudspeaker, if you're sick, stay home? I'm all right with that. I don't want your strep throat. And I think I said last week, I don't even want your snot on the doorknob. Amen. And so I'm all right with that. You're sick, stay home. And we do have it online to where you can watch it. And I'm not a promoter of online. If you're not sick and you should be here, well, guess where you should be. Amen. No, I'm just a thought there. But do come in. And then as soon as we dismiss, that's the direction that we need to all go. Amen. And trying to keep everyone safe, everyone well. Now, this is a special time for me. I like Veterans Day. I do, and I know you're going to say, preacher, is today Veterans Day? No, Wednesday is. However, we're going to recognize them today. So if you were a vet, if you're a veteran, if you would stand up and at least let the church see and recognize, amen. I know Brother Sutton's a vet as well. Amen. And Brother James, Brother Jackie, and myself, and I listen, I'm thankful for the service for this country. I'm still proud to be an American. Amen. I'm still thankful to be an American. Amen. And so you thank these men for their service to our country. And freedom's not free. And it's not even deserved. It's earned. And there's been a lot of lives that have been lost so that we can be free. And I'm thankful for that. And so do thank our vets for their time and sacrifice for our nation. Amen. Give them a round of applause. Amen. Now with that, Brother Jackie wants to stand again. No, but Brother Jackie and Sister Duke are the same age. They have a birthday today. Amen. Brother Jackie, yours is today, right? All right. And Sister Duke, yours is today. All right. I want to make sure I didn't have that wrong. Amen. So, well, they're brother and sister. You just didn't know it. Amen. And so we're going to sing happy birthday to them and let them know what a blessing it is to have a birthday on Sunday. Amen. All right. Here we go. Happy birthday to y'all. Happy birthday to y'all. Happy birthday, God bless y'all. Happy birthday to y'all. Amen. All right, brother, you got a song for us?
All right. Let's all stand and turn to page 63. What a day that will be. Page 63.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. Peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, a glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, a glorious day that will be. There be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, a glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, a glorious day that will be.
Let's sing that chorus one more time.
What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, a glorious day that will be.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Thank you for coming. Yes. Sure. Sure. Many, many times. Yes. Well, I can guarantee you one thing that always happened. It never failed. If there was anything that could break, It would not break until I was deployed. And I didn't have to be gone long. It was almost immediately. And I know that my wife and my older two boys definitely, and Jacob probably don't remember as much of it as John would, but, you know, I do definitely. The spouses know what it is to have sacrifice as well. Amen. 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 Jacob, I did turn it on here, bud. It should be coming, so. Amen. Yep, I got Ty Mike now. Amen. Well, I hope you all came to hear from the Lord today. It's easy to grumble. It's easy to complain. It's easy to point fingers. But God really does have a plan. And it does not matter what's going on today. And so, I love how God works everything out. I really do. I had this message months ago. If Brother Stephen was here, I remember texting back and forth with him. And as I was going through this passage of Scripture, and God had spoke to my heart through it, and I just kind of jotted it down. I'd even told him my plan, that I felt that God's plan was for me to preach this on Veterans Day, or at least before a Veterans Day message. And I didn't have a clue what was going to be today's status. I had no idea what all was going to be going on, but I'm thankful God did. First Chronicles, if you would, chapter number 12. I'm afraid that some of you are looking at the book of Lamentations and saying, boy, preacher, that's really where we need to be. We need to be crying out for our country, crying out for just mourning of today. And maybe it is a time of mourning for some, but I still have victory. And I'd like us to look at what the real difference is and what the real drive should be for us. 1 Chronicles chapter number 12, and when you get there, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I am going to kind of skip around here because we don't have, I'm not going to read you everything that's in from verses 23 to verse number 40. But that's really the passage of what I'm going to point out or what I'm going to give you. I'm going to hit some of the high points that I want to preach to you. Now this gives the list of all the men of Israel who have came to put David as king. David had been king in Hebron for 7 years. And now it's time. Now if you were to go to the book of 1 Chronicles all the way to the end, you would find that David had been king 7 years in Hebron, and he had been king 33 years in Jerusalem for a total of 40 years. And yet we find in verse number 23 is where I want us to start. And it says, and these are the numbers of the bands that were ready armed to the war and came to David, to Hebron, to turn the kingdom of Saul to him, according to the word of the Lord. Now skip on over and go to verse number 32. Verse number 32. I'm going to point out in verse number 32 and 33, two of the tribes, and I want to give you something here, and then we're going to skip on down to verse number 38. Verse number 32, the Bible says, and the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. And Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000, which could keep rank, and they were not of double heart. Go on down to verse number 38. All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel and all the rest of Israel, also of Israel, were of one heart to make David king. Can I go back to verse 38 and read that again? Let it soak in a moment. All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king
over all Israel. And all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. And there they were with David 3 days. Boy, what a difference 3 days makes. Eating and drinking, for their brethren had prepared for them. Moreover, they that were nigh them, even unto Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali, brought bread on asses and on camels and on mules and on oxen and meat, meal, cakes of figs and bunches of raisins and wine and oil and oxen and sheep abundantly. For there was joy in Israel. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. Lord, I thank You for Your consistency, Lord. Father, that we can turn to Your Word, and Father, it hasn't changed. Lord, that we can apply it to our lives and find the same victory. Lord, for salvation, for sanctification, for just satisfaction in You. Lord, I pray that You would meet with us this morning. Lord, I truly believe that this is the message that You've laid on my heart. Lord, I've chewed on it for months. And now, Lord, it's time to present it. And Father, I don't want to get in the way of it. I don't want to mess it up, Lord. Guard my mouth. Don't allow me to say anything that doesn't need said. But in the same sense, Lord, give me the boldness and the clarity to speak everything exactly the way it needs to be. Lord, I pray maybe there's one lost and undone, maybe here, maybe on YouTube, maybe on the website. Lord, I don't know. But Lord, that You would speak to their heart today. Because there's going to be a day that eternity's going to begin. And Lord, I pray that they would be ready for that day. Lord, help us. Give us encouragement through this passage. And I just ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. God revealed this important truth to me several months ago. I had already shared that with you. Just bear with me a moment. Even to the fact that I knew what suit I was going to wear and what tie I was going to wear. I like this tie. Brother Duke, I noticed your tie. I've got a tie just like that. Amen. I was like, boy, Brother Duke and I we can now wear the same ties together. Amen. I'll have to call him and say, hey, are you wearing the tie? And we can relate with that. Amen. But I already knew. You say, preacher, it's because everything that's going on in our nation. No, it's because Veterans Day. And may I tell you that nothing that has been done in this last week changed the fact that November the 11th was going to be Veterans Day. I like Veterans Day. Amen. And it's not just because, and listen, I got a VA update. Brother Jackie, do you get email from the VA? Amen. And it showed me, I think there's 200 places that you can go, and there's like 20 of them that are all restaurants that on Veterans Day you can go get a free meal. I remember Golden Corral used to have them lined up. And you know what most of them do? Well, on an abbreviated menu. And that's okay. I'm not going to go get a free meal. It's not that important to me. I just like the fact it's Veterans Day. I think it's kind of important. And so I'd already, boy, Lord, this is, holidays, I don't preach a message geared to that holiday. But it seems like always on Veterans Day, I'm gearing towards vets. And I think about the fact that every one of us, I remember as a young child, not knowing that I was ever going to join the military, not ever knowing that I was going to fight for our country. I've had people tell me, well, you know, I never fought for my country, but I'm a preacher and I feel like that's doing my part for our country. Listen to me, there's a difference when you put a gun in your hand and you're willing to face it towards an enemy that's going to be facing a gun back at you. There's a little bit of a difference. I'm sorry. I believe that what this world needs isn't guns. Amen. I'm not saying take them away. Praise God, I'm thankful for my freedom to carry guns. Amen. You say, preacher, how much do you like it? Because I have one on my side right now. Yeah. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't think everyone in the YouTube world needs to know it. That's all. I'm not afraid of it. By the way, it's been there for years. It's never reached out and shot someone, and it's amazing to me that the ones that always want to take it away are the ones that want to get violent in protesting. It's just funny how that works. But I remember as a young child in Sunday school and in children's church that we had sing that song. You know, the song, Marching in the Lord's Army. And I had no idea really how complex it is. But we are in a battle today. Amen. Every one of us in this room that's a child of God, well, you should be in a battle. I'm just being honest with you. You should be in a battle. I'm not one of those. Listen to me. I hate activists. It it bugs me to death that on our YouTube page it says nonprofit or activist, because I believe that there's a big difference. Amen. As much as I'm against the Ku Klux Klan, may I tell you I'm against the NAACP? I'm against Black Lives Matter? You say, preacher, how can you be against those things? Because they cause division. And I find that it gets us sidetracked. You see, the children of Israel are ready to put David on the throne where he's supposed to be. May I tell you that this is much bigger and much more important than who's going to take the presidency for 4 years. This passage of Scripture is speaking about who the king's going to be. And I believe that if we'd be honest today, the reason that we're facing the struggles and the turmoil and the corruption that's going on is because we don't have the right one as king today. You see, they had came to the place that they said, look, David's supposed to be the rightful king. David's the one that needs to not just be in Hebron and over a few. He needs to be over all. Oh, what would happen today, church, if we stood up to the place where we said, God is the Lord of all. You remember when we used to say the Pledge of Allegiance and people didn't take a knee for it? You know, when it really meant something. Brother Jackie, I remember when I went to Sears School. A bunch of men that thought that they were, well, and I say young men, especially at that time, that thought that we were tough and able to handle all. We'd been beat for a while. We'd been starved for a while. Sleep deprivation was a part of it. And yet, you had no idea what's taking place. And all of a sudden, when they play the national anthem and that flag raises, there wasn't a dry eye around. Why? Because there's an importance to it. I began to read this passage of Scripture. And it reminded me of one nation under God instead of one nation under many gods. In Psalm 33:12, it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. I find in this passage of Scripture that they had a plan. Their plan was to place David as king. I find that they had potential. Look at all of them that were willing. I'm telling you, when all the men got together and said, look, David needs to be the king. David's the rightful king. And I'm not talking about this with the cheating and everything taking place. Listen to me. If you don't think that there's not cheating on both sides, I'm telling you, every one of us would go home and tremble. I'm thankful God hides things from us. I really am. I believe that every one of us, if we knew the corruption that's really in our government, both sides, I don't care which side you're for. I don't care if you're a libertarian. And I don't care if you're an independent. Amen. I don't care where you stand. There's corruption all the way up and all the way down. But they got together and they said, you know what? God's the rightful king. God's the rightful king. You say, preacher, I thought they said David. Oh, may I tell you that David's just a picture here of the king that's supposed to be on the throne. And so I find that they had potential. They had a performance. They came prepared for battle. They didn't come empty-handed. They were ready for the war that was at hand. And then I find their product. Notice, if you would, the very last part of verse number 40. There was joy in Israel. Boy, there's no joy in America. You say, preacher, it's because the one that you wanted lost. Let me clarify something to you. Brother Richard, I think you hit on it on Wednesday about that billboard that I've seen. It honestly made me want to bomb it. Only God and Trump can make America great again. Let me tell you something. God doesn't need Trump's hand. Amen. Only God can make America great again. But it's only when God's people turn back to Him. It's only when God's people are ready to make Him king. Amen. And then we can truly see what joy is. Because may I tell you that in 4 years or in 2 years or whenever, the joy or what they think is joy is going to end. Amen. We're going to be squabbling and complaining here soon anyway. One thing or another, there's no joy in America. But when the right one's king and he's really on the throne, there's joy in Israel. I'm going to need four demonstrators, and I've thought about all the COVID issues going on and all the separation issues, but I really need four demonstrators. And there was a family that came to my mind that has four in it. You say, preacher, your own family? No, I was thinking about the Suttons. And so if I could, Brother Sutton, I need, and especially with your experience, I need y'all up here for a moment. I want to show you what this means. The passage of Scripture that really came out in my mind. And brother, I'm going to have you as if this is a squad. You're going to be the fourth rank, or the fourth squad. You ask Sister Sutton right here. Okay, she's running away from me. Nope, not yet. All right, right in front of him. Callie right in front of her, and then Caleb right in front of her. You say, preacher, that's good spot right there. Now, the spot that really stuck out in my mind, and I don't know if you all saw it. Brother Sutton's trying to hide, but I've got him there on purpose. It tells us in verse number 33, which could keep rank. And then in verse number 38, all these men of war that could keep rank. Brother Jackie, you remember what was so important about rank? Not rank on your collar. This would be a formation. All right? And so this would be set up, and there would be certain intervals in between, 30 inches. In fact, if I was to get in front of them and just give them a few little commands, if I was to call them to attention, they would put their feet in a 45-degree angle with the balls of their feet, their leg or balls of their feet touching, their arms would be relaxed on their seam, their thumbs would be down and facing down, and then they would have their head and their eyes straight forward. You say, preacher, what's so important about that? Attention was bringing them to a place where they could now receive the next command. All right? And so if I was to address them and I would say, group, attention! And they would all snap up, and Caleb wouldn't give me that silly little look. He wouldn't be grinning. And that's where they would be. You say, preacher, what's so important about that? Because then, as the group leader, I could say that they are going to open ranks. You say, well, what do you mean open ranks? Open ranks would be where Caleb would be considered on the first squad. He would take two steps forward. Now, we've got them too far back, so Brother Sutton, you're going to don't hit this, and don't hit in the offering table. But Caleb would take two steps forward, Callie would take one step forward, Sister Sutton would stay where she is, Brother Sutton would step back one. You say, preacher, what's so important about this? Let me show you. All right, so if I would, they're already at attention, that means Caleb's hands are down here, and they're ready to go, and I would say, open ranks, march! Now, open ranks is the preparatory command. It tells them what I want them to do. March is the command of execution. And so on the word march, they would take, Caleb would take two steps forward, Callie would take one step, Sister Sutton would stay there, Brother Sutton would be there. Now you say, what's so important about that? This is when the company commander, the first sergeant, the whoever's in charge, maybe it's even the squad leader going down his squad, he would come and he would stand in front of them and he would see if any, not keep your head straight forward, eyes straight forward, look at that box right there. Just focus on that box. Callie, you got a booger hanging out your nose. Don't touch it! But this is important. And I know, preacher, you're making them laugh. I know. I want you to see this, though. This is what it is. Because it takes discipline to stand there. I know of a man that he would go down his squad and he would have a Leatherman. And if anyone had a nose hair hanging out, he would grab a hold of that nose hair. You say, preacher! No, I'm serious. What did you do? You had to stand there. You'd tell that tear to get back in your eye. You said, did he just yank it out? No. He would go nice and slow. And so I've got them at open ranks, and we've went through the ranks, and I'm bringing this to you because I want you to see all of this. I'm going to preach this, all right? So hold it in your mind. All right, so then if we want to close them, we would say close ranks being the preparatory command and march being the command of execution. So it would sound something like this. Close ranks, march! And then Brother Sutton would move one step forward, Callie would take one step back, Caleb would take two steps back. And now they're closed up, they're ready to go. You say, preacher, well, what's so important about this. Now we're going to prepare them for battle. Now, in this position, they would not march. Brother Sutton is the one that is going to take and drive the march. You say, how's that going to work? Because I'm going to give them the command of right face. Now, right being the preparatory command, face is the command of execution, and they're going to turn to that wall. You say, preacher, how is that done? And they would just simply, well, that was an about face, all right? They're going to simply turn like this. It's only been 18 years, all right? So bear with me. And they're going to turn in such a way, now they're ready for the next command, all right? So it would look like this, right face, and now you're turning that way. Brother Sutton is on it, all right? So Caleb's turning, he's turning to his other right as well, all right? Now, the next command at this point, I'm not going to have them do it because I'm afraid I wouldn't get them to stop. Caleb's going to run smack into that wall, all right? But the next command would be forward march. Now, I'm not even going into making sure that the squad's in line, covering, making sure you've got the right distance. They're going to take 30-inch steps. All of these things matter. You say, preacher, what's it really that important? Because they've got to keep rank. Now, if we were to tell them forward march, they would march. And they would march at the pace that Brother Sutton is the pace leader. He is the fourth squad. I remember in basic training, I was ended up being the platoon sergeant because I could do all the DNC. I could do all the drill and ceremony movements. You say, preacher, what's really important about all of this? This is how they went to battle. This is how they went to battle. Now, with that as well, it was amazing because on the day that we had the competition for drill and ceremony, the fourth squad leader, it just so happened that he ended up having KP that day because the drill sergeant already told him, you've got two left feet, you're going to go to KP. And he put me as the fourth squad leader. Why? Maybe it's because I'd had years of marching in band. I don't know. But you start off on your left foot. And so if I was to say forward march, they would start on their left foot and they would take that 30-inch step. Now, I bring us to this because there's a battle. And I want you to look. I already told you, and I'm going to bring this up in the message. Everything is geared off of Brother Sutton. There's a reason why I lined him up this way. Because Brother Sutton's leading the rest of this rank right here. Now, I'm going to have him sit down. Thank you all for your dismiss. Yeah. But Brother Sutton, I know it's been 18 years for me. It's been longer than that for you, and I appreciate it. Amen. Yes. Well, you know, and that's what it teaches you. Because drill and ceremony, everyone... Have you ever been to a parade and seen someone marching in the band out of step? Oh, I was... Listen, Brother Stephen messed it all up. I was going to make him and Brother Richard come up, and both of them. Just the two of them. I guarantee you one of them would be like... Hey, and they'd both be out of step. You say, preacher, how are they both out of step? They'd be weaving. Some of you will get that later. Notice if you would, Lord had helped me preach this today. I'd like to preach about keeping rank in spiritual battles. Keeping rank in spiritual battles. The first thing that I find is their duty. Their duty. I'm not going to tell you that you need to be here out of duty and obligation. But may I tell you that coming to the house of God is what Christians are supposed to do. Reading your Bible is what Christians are supposed to do. Standing for what's right is what Christians are supposed to do. It is your duty to do it. It amazes me at how many set down their responsibilities. How many set down their voice. May I tell you that they're not taking away our rights. We're handing them over. We're handing them over. Notice, if you would, we find their duty. First place that we find this is in verse number 23. He says, ready, armed to the war. Ready, armed to the war. And you say, preacher, I don't understand this. The word ready means that they were ready. They were ready. Now, I know you're going to go, well, okay, preacher, I mean, that's really kind of an easy thought there. No, hold on. Ready's more deep than you think. Ready's a lot deeper than you think. Notice with this, just this word ready, they were attentive and ready. You remember when I called them to attention? Brother Sutton, and some of you couldn't see him, Brother Sutton was ready. He was at attention. He was ready to go. Whatever command's given next. This is where they were. They were ready. They were attentive. What do you mean? They were in rank ready to go. I remember first thing in the morning, you have a formation. First thing every morning, you have a formation. And that you say, preacher, why do you have a formation? Well, I think that it was so that they could teach you how to tell time. Because I don't know, maybe it wasn't the same in the Navy, but in the Army, it was 10 minutes prior to the time you're supposed to be there. So if you needed to be there at 6:30 for formation, because that's when the cannon's going to go off and you're going to salute, and then your squad leader or the platoon sergeant would tell you, okay, I want you here at 6:20. And that's so that you could line up, make sure that, you know, all right, we're going to go run, make sure you got your reflective belt. You got your son, where's your reflective belt? And you'd make sure you have everything. But then your squad leader would tell you, I want you 10 minutes prior to the 10 minutes prior. That means that you're at 10 o'clock or at 6:10. And then if you had something else going on, you had to be here 10 minutes before that 10 minutes. And before you know it, you're 30 minutes early. But it never failed. There would always be one goofball. Sister Lindsay would come running up to the formation late. I'm here. You're here, but you're not ready. You're not ready. And I'm afraid that there's many times when we need to be here in formation ready to go. It tells us here that they could keep rank, that they were attentive. They were ready for that next command. They were ready for whatever the Lord led them to do. You know where we are as children of God today? I'm afraid that we're reactive instead of proactive. Now, I've loved this as a safety professional. I could never do it hard. But I would ask someone, which one's faster? Reaction or proaction? And when they'd say reaction, I would smack them. Now, I couldn't do it hard. And by the time that they react, it's already done. It's already done. May I tell you what God wants us to do? Is already be in place, ready to go for His command instead of reacting to what's going on. Listen, you remember 9-1-1? You remember 9-11? When everyone reacted in America with, oh, God bless America, it's too late. It's too late. They're reacting to what happened. And they really didn't mean it, by the way. They're just reacting because they didn't know what else to do. You see, they could keep rank. They were already there. They were already at attention. They were already ready to move. It didn't matter if it was open ranks. It didn't matter if it was right face, forward march. They were ready. And so I find the attentiveness in ready. I find as well. Look at their attentiveness. Look at how they moved. Look at verse number 23 at the very end. According to the word of the Lord. You know how the children of God are going to put God as king? According to the word of the Lord. Where are we in America? I'm not trying to be critical. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just going to be honest. We've got a false religion. We've got a false idea of who God really is. We've got this idea that God's going to be all right and we can come to Him and do for Him any way. But no. Hold on a second. I need to be ready according to the word of the Lord. I need to be attentive the way He says I need to be. I need to be living my life in such a manner. You know, it's funny, Jeremiah, he likes to race. And there's been times where we'll go from the house off the back deck and we're walking towards the shop and he'll go, Dad, you want to race? And there's some times where Dad messes with him. Can you believe that? I know some of you that's a shock. But there's some times I'll mess with him. And I might even hold him a little bit. On your mark, get set. What's that word set mean? Ready. I'm getting ready to go. At the command go, I'm gone. And so I'll tell him get set and I'll hold him back a little bit. And I'll say go and, you know, I'll kind of push him back a little bit as I take off forward. Or maybe I'll even make it to where I won't say go, will I? And I'll just already take off. You know what we need to do? There's some times as a child of God we already take off. And God did never say go. We need to be at the ready. Ready to go. Be ready to place. And so I find the attentiveness of ready. I look on and I find that they were accessible in ready. You remember as I was looking and I saw that big old booger hanging out of Caleb's nose? Was it Callie's nose? That was Callie. Callie, you had the booger. Did you wipe that off yet? Yeah, Caleb had the nose hair, didn't he? All right. And so they were accessible. Understand this. Look at what they had. They're instruments of war. Can you imagine if they got there and they didn't have their sword and their shield? Or that their sword was all rusty? Hold on. We can make a spiritual application there, can't we? Amen. We've come to that place and we want to know what in the world's happened to America. It's not what in the world's happened to America. It's what in the world's happened to the churches. And truthfully, I think we just answered it. It's the world. We're not really inspectable. Oh, I love it. People get so mad at the preacher because I'll preach some things and it steps on someone's toes and they'll start kicking and screaming and squalling. Do you know that we're inspectable? And I know we don't like that word. We'd say able to be inspected. But that's part of keeping the rank. Brother Jackie, I remember back in the day when you actually had to polish your shoes. I can't stand the ragbag soldier look that we have today where it's... I'm telling you, you knew on inspection days. You knew that there was going to be an open ranks march. You knew. Caleb, it only took one time of seeing... It didn't even happen to me. It only had to happen to someone for me to go, I'm going to make sure I trim out my nose hairs. Amen! I'm just being honest. You're going to remember that. Shouldn't we be inspectable? Shouldn't we be prepared for inspection? Shouldn't we be to that place where when God looks down, He sees His children acting the way that His children should act, living the life that His children are supposed to live? Amen. It's not just in the fact that the preacher's around or the church folks are around. No, that's how we live all the time. I look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 31. The Bible says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. That's a good thought, isn't it? You know, before I ever went to the formation, I already looked. Hey, my boots are polished. Hey, I've got starch in my uniform. I wanted it. There was never a time that I ever took my uniform to the cleaners that I didn't mark heavy starch. I wanted it to be to where you was putting on your pants, you had to bust through that starch to get them on. I wanted them that way. Why? Because that's the way it was supposed to look. Today, we don't want to look like we're supposed to. We don't want to talk like we're supposed to. We don't want to live like we're supposed to. Hold on. I wonder what a dent. Brother Sutton, I heard that Wayne County had voted liquor on Sunday, liquor sale on Sunday, and passed. Evans County passed. How sad. I remember when Bryan County passed theirs. And they called me, the newspaper had called me, or Savannah Morning News, someone called me. It wasn't Sister Woody because she was working for the paper at that time. But someone had called me and asked me, and my response was, it just shows that we're not as much of the Bible Belt as we proclaim. But I do remember the ones that got published. Mine didn't get published. I do remember the ones that got published. And one of them was from a preacher. That it said that this way, his congregation, if they want to drink after service, they can have one. I wonder if Anheuser-Busch would be shut down if the Christians quit partaking. Listen to me. We're not in the situation that we're in because of the corrupt politicians. We're in the situation we're in because we've chose to be there. And maybe not you specifically, but it's time that we start acting it. It's time that we go ahead and put God as King in our life and let the rest follow. Was it not D.L. Moody that said, let revival start with me? If I catch on fire, others will come out to watch. It's time. Brother Richard, it's amazing to me that a man had said, and we're going to look at this at the next point with Reddy, but a man had told him that there's something different, that you're excited about being a child of God. Excuse me? Should we not all be excited about being a child of God? Hold on a second. When have we came to the place that it's not important to us that God from heaven, the Almighty God, came down and saved the lowliest of worms? And we don't get excited. And so I look and I find here in their duty of readiness that they were ardently ready. You say, preacher, what in the world does that word mean? Eager. Eager. Now, I'll be honest. There were some times when I was in formation, it seemed like once a quarter. In fact, I believe it was once a quarter. We used to have a battalion run. I hated our battalion runs. I did not like to run in formation. If I could run, most of the time it was run on our own. We didn't have a whole lot of company runs, a whole lot of platoon runs. But once a quarter, we would have a battalion run. And this is where you have all the companies all come together and you're all running in one great big group. And yet there was, it was just something you dreaded. It would be a 6 mile run, which, okay, I've never woke up in the morning and go, yay, I get to go run. I was never that guy. But could I do it? Sure, I could run. And so we'd go run, and you'd start off. I can't tell you that I was overly excited to be there. But it's funny. Something, as we got started there, there'd be some camaraderie that'd get going. And you're calling cadence, and you're going along, and all of a sudden, you see someone's company guidon run past you, and they circle the entire battalion. It's like, oh yeah? Well, watch this. And so you'd go up, and you'd grab your company's guidon, and you, woo! 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 And you'd run around that entire battalion. You say, preacher, that's just crazy. No, you was excited. All of a sudden, something that you didn't think was going to be that much fun just got fun. I remember the last Major Little was my company commander. I just came back. I'd made my E5. I just came back from getting the Soldier of the Year award up in Fort Campbell. And I get to be the guidon bearer. You say, preacher, what's that mean? You get to be the one that carries it in front of the company the entire time. And so here I am running by the company commander. We're just going along. And you know, I didn't have to carry it that much. That was his last battalion run until he came back as battalion commander. But as he was my company commander, he took that guidon and he ran that company. And you know what I did after as guidon bearer? I took it after him. He gave it back to me and I took off. Boy, I went running. And you know, then after that, I seen the squad leaders had just kind of started coming out, one right after the other. And boy, I didn't carry that guidon much at all. Because others got excited too. You know, I find that they're zealous. You say, preacher, how do you see that? It says that they were ready. They were ready. They were ready. Notice as well, I find the accountability in ready. There would have been a shame for not being ready for the battle. There would have been a shame. You remember who I said led the charge to the battle? Right here. Brother Sutton was right here. Do you know who he had following him into battle? Everyone that would have been in that whole company or battalion or whatever size that would have been. Those 50,000 men. No, hold on a second. If we were really to line that up right, it would have been Brother Sutton, Sister Sutton, Callie, and Caleb. Nope. It would have been Brother Sutton, Sister Sutton, Caleb, and Callie. Say, preacher, why is that? Because when Brother Sutton steps out, he's handing the torch to Caleb. And he's showing him, son, this is how you lead. This is what it is. This is how you do it. But everyone was based off of what he was doing. Do you understand the accountability that we have today as a child of God? I'm not trying to sound irreverent here, but it's not just the fact that we're going to have a day that we stand and give an account to the Lord. I don't want to see my family perish because of the march I had. I want to be able to pass down to my boys, this is what it is to march right. This is what it looks like to stand strong. This is the importance behind it. Because there's going to be a day that Dad's going to move on. Either the Lord's going to return and call us all home, or He's just going to take me home. But that day's coming. Brother Jackie, probably sooner than we know. I was praying last night. John and Jacob are 25 and 21. But where's our country going to be when Jeremiah's 25? I want him to be able to say, I know how to march. Daddy was ready, and he made me ready too. Notice, if you would, not just their duty. I look and I find their discernment. Look over in verse number 32. I find their discernment. The children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. And the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. Notice, if you would, their discernment. First thing that we look at is their awareness. They knew the times. Wake up! We know the time. We know the time. We know what's going on. We know how it is. We even know who the real enemy is. We do. We know. Take your Bibles. Look over the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I want you to look at a few verses here. Ephesians chapter number 6. I want you to look at verse number 10 is where we're going to start. Ephesians 6 and verse number 10. I'll get there eventually too. Ephesians 6 verse number 10. Ephesians 6 and verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. May I tell you, first and foremost, right there is our number one enemy. Our enemy's not each other. One of the things that just really gets under my skin about all these activist groups is they're trying to get us to hate each other. They're trying to cause division because they know that we'll never stand if we're divided. We'll kill each other. That's the way it works, folks. And they've got this idea that if we can team each other up. Listen, isn't it sad to think that we're fighting against things that we have no control over? May I tell you that I'm not going to apologize for being white? I can't help it. I was born that way. I'm not even going to apologize for being a male. And I'm sure not changing it. Hello? They want us to be upset because we're one way or another. No, hold on. They're talking about uniqueness and how we're to accept everyone the way that they are. But I can't accept you because you're a certain skin color? How stupid. That is just ridiculous. I'm not going to accept you and you're a lower citizen because you're a gender. No one had a choice. And they want that to be the ticket to get everyone to divide. And the sad part is people are. May I tell you, my enemy's not even a Muslim man. I know you're going to go, preacher, I can't. I mean, Muslims, they're against Christians. They behead Christians. He's not my enemy. Satan's my enemy. The wiles of the devil. Do you know who's behind all of this garbage? You know who's really behind it? Satan. The trickery of the devil. The wiles of the devil. He is more subtle than anyone known. And he knows exactly what to whisper in your ear to get you to think that he's not the problem. and the problem lies somewhere else. I know the real enemy, and he knows you. And you see, there's a discernment that we need today. There's a discernment that's given that we know the real wickedness. Now hold on, look on into verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now I'm not telling you that the deceivers are not our enemy as well. The spiritual wickedness in high places, listen, I still stand for God. The homosexual movement, as much as I'm not a hate group, I believe that the Bible teaches us that you're to love the sinner and hate the sin. I know of a man that had family members that were homosexual. And he had asked me, he said, what do I do? I said, you love them. You love them. You teach them that that's not the right direction and that's not the right lifestyle, but you love them. Because my Savior loved them. Amen. He loved them so much that when he was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Spiritual wickedness. Oh, may I tell you, the devil is our number one enemy. The deceivers are the number two enemy. I think about 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 13. The Bible says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. May I tell you where we are today? Our churches are not getting more, or our nation's not getting more godly, but our churches are getting more worldly. And so I find not just their awareness, their application. Notice this. And the Bible told us there that they had a knowing, an understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Very important word there. Because many times we know what we should do, but we don't do it. Amen. We know that it's not right, or we know that this is the wrong, or wrong music, wrong influence, wrong movies. It's amazing to me that it took COVID to shut down the movie house. Hey, shut down the liquor stores. Hey, I'm not a protester. I am not a protester. I don't like to go out there and hold up signs that say that you're going to hell, turn or burn. As much as I definitely preach, there's no hope without repentance. There's no hope without turning to Christ. There's no hope. But I don't believe that that's the message that God has. I like Brother Freed. I don't know how many remember our tent meeting back in 2015. Brother Samuel Freed had some of the best signs I've ever seen. And he asked me, he said, Preacher, do you mind if I go up here on the corner and just hold up this sign? I said, Preacher, what was it? A sign that said, Jesus loves you. Why do you do what you do? Why do you live like you live? Because He loves me. One of the worst things I ever remember is disappointing my dad. Say, Preacher, how you know you disappointed him? Because he seen me following his footsteps that wasn't the right direction. And it disappointed him. It's not necessarily that he was disappointed in me, but he was disappointed in the fact that I was following the same steps. But you know the last thing I want to do is look in my Savior's eyes and know I disappointed him. There needs to be, if you're going to have discernment and have understanding of the times and understand, then why in the world are we yoking up with it? Why in the world are we okay with it? Why in the world do we look like it and sound like it? And why in the world are, but yet we're against it. But we're not against it. Well, I mean, we're kind of against it. May I tell you, if you're kind of against it, you're not against it enough. Amen. I'm not trying to be ugly. I look here at the application. It's not just knowing, it's doing. I look at Luke chapter number 8 and verse number 21. The Bible says, and he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of the Lord of God and do it. And do it. You know, number one reason why I don't have Facebook? I don't want to see the smut of my church members. I'm just being honest. I don't want to see. Because when I get up to preach,
I want to preach. I don't want you to go out, Brother Jeff's preaching at me because he saw my post on Facebook. Nope. Now you know, hey, this is Holy Spirit directed. Amen. I don't need Crackbook to tell me what to preach. I just trust God. Amen. And I look here and I find that there's so many that know what the Word of God says. Brother Richard, I'm guilty. Someone will tell me that they go to such and such church and I see some of the things that they're doing. I'll go, their preacher's all right with that? He doesn't preach against that? And the truth of it is, he preaches to people just like I do. And they just choose not to. Hey, I'm not a lord over you. All I'm trying to do is give you the truth so that you know how to live. Amen. Hey, listen. You want to grumble and complain about the cheating and about everything that's going on? God has something to grumble and complain about. Because we know it and we choose not to do it. James chapter number 1 and verse number 22, it says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." James 4 and verse number 17, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." And so I find as well their discipline. This comes back to when I can pull that nose hair out of Caleb's nose and he's going to stand there and suck that tear back in. I look at verse number 33 of our text. It tells us at the very end. Actually, let's read the whole thing because I want you to see their discipline here. It tells us of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000, which could keep rank. They were not of double heart. Notice on down in verse number 38, all these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. And the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. Notice this, I find their discipline, it's seen in their direction. It's not just that they weren't double hearted, but they were of a perfect heart. May I tell you that being sincere is different than being sincerely right? Amen. I know a whole lot of people that are very sincere about what they're doing. I'm sorry. I believe you're sincere when you strap bombs on your body and you go over and blow something up. You're sincere, but you're sincerely wrong. Amen. You see, what made the difference wasn't just the fact that they weren't double-hearted or double-minded. It's the fact that they were perfect-hearted. That holiness was a priority in their life. That living for the Lord was what was precedent to them. That it was important to them to come. And no matter what was in front of them, holy living takes discipline today. But it takes no more discipline today than it did back then. Amen. Walking in the Spirit and not walking in the flesh. You realize that it takes discipline to be emptied of self so that you can be filled with the Spirit? It takes discipline. It takes some time. You say, "Preacher, I don't understand all of this thing with discipline." It's just like I was talking about polishing boots. You learn. I'm afraid that we've learned some things because you learn how to get around it. Now, listen, I was in a unit, especially the last 4 years of my service, I was in a special ops unit. Brother Scooter, we had all of the Velcro that you could want. If it was black and had Velcro, we'd buy it. I'm telling you, it's what it was. It was special ops community, and so black and Velcro meant that you was high speed. And so it was good to go. Most of my days at that unit, I wore what we called it a pickle suit. It was a one-piece flight suit. It was green, and so we called it a pickle suit. You want to talk about rag bag? It was wash and wear. It was out of Nomex. It was for flight. I mean, it was flame retardant, and you would just put it on, and you'd have your wallet in the bottom pocket down here. So when you'd walk, it just kind of do one of those, it'd keep a walking past you. It just kind of carried your foot to the next step. No, I had a government card and a driver's license and just wallet. I've been one of those men, I carry a wallet.
Amen. Brother Richard has a man bag. Amen. I carry a wallet. Amen. But you know, I learned. You knew what days you was going to have formation, and they were going to do an open ranks. You knew what days you needed to have those nose hairs trimmed, Caleb. And you see, what you'd do is in your office or your shop, you would have it set up to where I might come in my flight suit and I'd wear my boots that I'm gonna climb up and down, and they were black, but they weren't spit shined. My spit shine boots and my starched uniform I kept over there in the corner. And you see, I'd get it and I'd put it on, knowing that we were going to go to a formation, that it was possible that we were going to have an inspection. And you're ready to go, because you didn't want to just wear your boots that just had some black on them. No. You wanted your boots that they could see themselves in it. And that uniform stayed over here. You know what we've learned as children of God? We know when to dress up. Look, folks, I even wore a vest today. Amen. I don't usually wear my vest. Jacob's like, that's too much blue, Dad. That's all right. I was patriotic today. I thought about, you know, I'm just going to get rid of all the rest of my suits, and this is the only suit I'm going to wear. I think about John R. Rice. John R. Rice only wore that baby blue suit. Remember that? That old five-button suit. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. Y'all knew who I'm talking about? Amen. And the only color suit that he ever wore was that one suit. John Hanna, the only tie that he wears is that one tie. You say, preacher, why is that? Well, it would make life a lot simpler, wouldn't it? What suit am I going to get? The only one I got. Amen. But listen, is that not what we do as children of God? We know when to put it on and when we don't have to. May I remind you that the eyes of the Lord are in every place. Their discipline was seen in their direction, but I find that their discipline was seen in their determination. What were they determined to do? Put David as king. You know, it would do us good, church, to be determined to put God as king. In our own lives first. In everything that we do in our life. And it told us here that they weren't double-hearted. I think about James chapter number 1 and verse number 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You say, preacher, there's a difference in mind and heart, is there? Gird up the loins of your mind that it doesn't affect your heart. Listen to me. We look here, we begin to think that they were not wishy-washy. In verse number 33, it tells us here that they were expert in war with all instruments of war. Brother Jackie, one of the best. I loved going to the range, not as much as I would today. Now, the unit that I was in, we didn't wear a lot of battle rattle. If we were going small arms, we didn't wear any battle rattle. We just went and had our soft cap, and you went and shot, got up, and went back to the hangar. I had the opportunity, we had some AT-4s that were, well, they were going, they had a shelf life. It was time to get rid of them. We needed to shoot them up. Now, AT-4 is an anti-tank round. It's fun. It's a fun shoot. And then we had a bunch of 203s. You say, preacher, what's a 203? It's a grenade that you get to launch out of a gun. And it goes out, and I think it's, what, 50 yards, and it activates. Is that right? It's got to turn so many revolutions. Yeah, so many revolutions. So, you know, they estimated it's got to go so far before it can detonate. That's they're wrong, because we had one that detonated earlier. Guy got some shrapnel in him. But anyway, it was fun to do. It was fun to shoot. And we probably had a good 50 AT-4s that we had to get rid of, a piece. There was four of us. And so by the time I got to 48, I could hit anything out there. I had some experience with it. I'm telling you, you shoot 50 AT-4s, you know how to shoot. Boy, it was like, I come up there, ready to go, back blast area all clear, here we go. Boy, it was fun. One of the coolest parts was when it shot, the blast would pull your pant legs back against. It was cool. It was awesome. I went to a range and we had the Mauve Deuce 50 cal. And then the Mark 19. And it was an SF range. We went to Fort Bragg. And the SF guys, the Green Berets, are out there and they're setting the range up. And they're the ones doing it. We're just out there in a soft cap. All of you know what I'm talking about with soft cap. It's patrol cap. I'm not wearing a Kevlar, which is what you normally see them in battle. We're just wearing a soft cap out there. Got hearing protection in. And typically, the Mauve Deuce, the 50 cal, you shoot it a 6 to 9 round burst. You don't light up that barrel. But you know what they told us? That barrel's not getting red, you're not shooting it enough. Boy, you just laid the lead down range. It was fun. Now, I wouldn't say I'm an expert at it. You start changing barrels and start doing all of that and get your timing. And you say, preacher, it's got to have timing. Sure, that's got to come back and hit at the right spot at the right time. You want to talk about trouble? When you get a misfeed on an automatic weapon, it's trouble. The Bible tells us here that they were experts in all the instruments of war. And I know they didn't have the Mauve Deuce or the Mark 19 or any of those things to go and fight. But I'm telling you, they were an expert at the bow. I remember David's mighty men. There were some that could shoot left-handed and right-handed. I know you're going to go, preacher, that was backwards. No, just bear with me. They were holding it with their right. Shooting with their left. They were holding it with their left, shooting with their right. However you want to look at it, they could do it either way. Can you shoot a gun left or right-handed? There's a difference. It takes time. It takes determination. Why? Because it was their priority. We're going to prepare for this. I wonder where we are today, church. I'll leave you with this thought. Fishing worms. Say, preacher, what in the world? No, bear with me. I know that y'all like to go get worms at bait shops and stuff, but I like the ones from Walmart. The night crawlers. The big old gnarly night crawlers that when you actually break a piece of it off, it covers the hook. You know what I mean? I know that some say, well, I like pinks or I like reds or they all taste good to me. No. But on the box or on the container of the night crawlers that you get at Walmart, you know what it says? Our worms are guaranteed to catch fish or die trying. Guaranteed to catch fish or die trying. Isn't it sad to think that the worms have more dedication and determination than this old worm? They were determined to put David as king. Shouldn't we be more determined as a child of God to put Jesus as king? Jonathan out there in front of Emmanuel Baptist Church has 3 signs, Jesus 2020. Says it 3 times. He's got 3 different signs put up. You know what he's going to do for 2021? He's going to get signs made up that says Jesus 2021. You know, it's really not about Trump. It's not about Biden. It's not about Pence. It's not about Harris. It's not about Democrats. It's not about Republicans. It's about the fact that I have a king, that I need to make him king over everything that I do. I can't determine the wickedness. All I can do is stand against it. I can stand for the right king. Trump wasn't going to fix anything. Biden's not going to fix anything. Jesus will fix everything. Let's stand. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you. I'm thankful for the promises you give us in your word. Lord, I'm thankful for how you touch and direct and, Lord, encourage. Father, would you meet with us in this invitation, Lord? Maybe there's some distraction. Maybe there's some turmoil. And Lord, I haven't forgot that you're the one that set up kingdoms and bring down kingdoms. But Lord, I know your promise of your people that are called by your name. Lord, it'd be good for us to remember that we're called by your name today. And that we can keep rank in the spiritual battles. Help us, in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The music softly plays. I encourage you today, God spoke to your heart, that you'd come. The greatest need we have right now is our
ocean, white and blue.
Listen, I'm thankful for all
they
of our missionaries
their
that are
cross,
all over.
Not the
I'm afraid we're about to be in England.
So other souls
because we haven't put Jesus as
truth.
King in our own lives.
But the light's grown dim in America.
I introduce you to the King today.
Sins, his children fall,
one who died for you.
To go to every land, to the islands of the uttermost, to find forgotten men. But the most forgotten
coming. Going to ask you a favor. I wasn't going to do this on YouTube, but they need to know as well. I don't want to have regular church tonight. I want to have a special meeting tonight. I need us to come to the church house, but I'm going to ask you to come in just same as we always do. We're going to have two songs or three songs, and then I've got a special meeting for us. If you're able to come, I'd love to have you. I really believe that God's got a direction for us, and so I'm going to ask you to come and be with us tonight. I don't want to tell you everything about it. I just want you to trust me. I believe it's the greatest need that we have. And so I encourage you, if you can, come. We'll start at 6 o'clock. Give me an opportunity. We'll get everything disinfected and cleaned up from this morning and ready for tonight.